Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hey, welcome to the third ever episode of The Nerd Off on the Black Altus premium selection of podcasts. For people that are so sophisticated and snobby, they pay for their podcasting. That's the kind of person that I want to covet. As always, sitting in on The Nerd Off, probably silently shaking her head and judging and asking all the questions for all the people that don't know what the fuck we were talking about, it's Karen.
That's right. I'm here for you non-nerds. I will ask you, what are y'all niggas talking about when I don't understand what the hell is going on?
Regular people.
Mm-hmm. Also, another person that's been on the show before, he wasn't on last week because he was too busy fighting in an MMA fight. I know, breaking all types of stereotypes for nerds. It's my man, Chris, from the Insanity Check Podcast. What's up, dog?
What's up, folks?
Oh, it's good to have you back, man. Just remember, Spider-Man 2 is better than Amazing Spider-Man. And let's just go ahead.
I'm just going to leave it like that, yeah.
Yeah, never watch that movie again. Never watch that movie again.
I just like to say, like, the dude that said this to me, like, told me that one of the problems he had with Amazing Spider-Man, and I point out to him, I was like, that actually is addressed in the movie, and I'm just like, I realize you didn't watch the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. My man Kung Fu Treachery, what up, dog? We also got a person that I've talked about on the show before, but we haven't had him on the Nerd Off, but I actually discussed many nerd things with this dude throughout the week through G-Chat and whatnot. He's one of my nerd resources. It's Aaron Rand Freeman from all the This Week in Blackness podcast and their spinoffs.
Am I your correspondent?
Yes.
Yeah, unofficially, officially.
Am I your source? You just tell people things and then people, who's your source? Don't worry about it. Listen.
Right. Well, I always, there's a few people, that I respect and I bounce stuff off of. Like even if I disagree with them, you know, I respect you if I hit you up like, hey, man, what do you think about this thing? You know, cause most of the time I'm just like, I figured this all out by myself. I'm smart. So, Aaron's on the list of people that I'm like, people are mad about this. Can you explain? This is a very special Nerd Off because, all hell broke loose after the Xbox One was announced officially and everything was, and I had decided, a while back, like, I'm not gonna get too excited about Xbox versus PlayStation and stuff in the new generation because specifically, I'm probably not buying one on launch day. Because I normally don't ever buy a console on launch day. I wait a couple, you know, make a few months minimum until they build up some sort of game, some games and people start reporting on, you know, hey, this is what it does and this is how it affects everything. But, yeah, things came to a groundswell. Everything got so crazy that I was like, we're going to have to talk about it. Right. First things first, though, let's talk about all the little shit that people don't want to hear about. But they're going to wait to hear about the Xbox. So they got to listen to us. First things first, man, nerd movies need to hire the guys who wrote the Fast and Furious series, since Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
To write some of these movie scripts.
Yes, they do.
I've never been so satisfied with every plot hole being closed to something, after leaving Fast and Furious 6 yesterday. And that's something I thought I'd never say. So it wasn't like I was like, yeah, Fast and Furious 6, I go here for the writing.
Right.
But after last night's showing of Fast and Furious 6, I seriously was like, I need this to happen to, like, for example, the Wolverine franchise, the X-Men, First Class sequels and prequels and other X-Men movies, a lot, you know, as a fan of a lot of nerd movies, man, like, especially comic book movies, we end up with a lot of loopholes and plot holes that we just have to deal with. And I kind of like this idea of walking out of something and going, hey, we made a prequel to something and it exactly matches up at the end to where we left off. So yeah, I don't know if both of you guys seen Fast and Furious 6 yet, but I think we could use some better writing, man.
No, man, I said that when I walked out, I was like, yo, Brian Singer and Fox need to call Justin Lin, sit down with him, and if you don't hire him as a writer, just say, help us fix this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Help us fix this. Because everything I see from Fox right now, even Hugh Jackman came out recently and said, well, the Wolverine isn't exactly a sequel to Wolverine Origins. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. Like, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You're already doing it wrong. Like you said, I was not expecting writing in Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting closed loopholes. I was expecting fast cars, good fights, and some explosions. And I got all that. And it was a tiny thing. They didn't hit you over the head with it. They did it, but you were like, oh shit. Oh shit. That's just a small, like, they spent maybe a total of 2 minutes total in screen time fixing plot holes.
Right.
But they did it.
And I
was just like, wow.
When you start a prequel anyway, you're starting something that everybody knows the ending to.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can't help but want you to match up with the ending. Like, it's not an unreasonable expectation for a fan of your franchise to go, well, this person is dead. That person, I've never even fucking seen them before. They've had a prominent role. What happened to that person? You know, that's not a crazy thing to do. And these guys successfully, if you think about Fast and Furious franchise, they successfully made 1, 2, 3. Skipped 2 movies, basically made 6 right then, went back and made 4 and 5. That's really the sequence of these movies. And they all make sense. So, that's incredible. And I just gotta say, I think there's no reason that nerd movies can't do this. There's no reason that comic book movies can't do this. If you're gonna do, instead of just relaunching every, like, 5 years, a new Spider-Man or a new Fantastic Four or something like that, there's no reason you can't consider, like, actually trying to match some of these stories up. So, I think I'm down with that, man. I hope the new Superman is, that they don't just relaunch another one in 5 or 10 years. I'd like to see them start continuing some of these movies and writing better scripts.
I think that Marvel is going to have to do that eventually. Because right now, they have these people, you know, like, when Iron Man's going to be the first one up. If Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to come back to do another solo Iron Man movie in, like, a decade, they're going to do another Iron Man movie, and they want to do another Iron Man movie. Like, they're not going to start over again from the beginning because they have their own little universe. So what are they going to do?
Right, right. You'd have to relaunch Avengers pretty much totally. So,
yeah, I'm with you, man. I hope they do it.
All right. Another thing, and I don't think Aaron's seen Fast 6, so that's why.
I need to go see it. Now, I was literally ordering tickets to see Star Trek, but when people are gushing about the writing for Fast 6, I was like, no, cancel that ticket. We're going to go see Fast and Furious.
Have you seen the other Fast movies, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. All okay, right, cool. Yeah, you good. Right, never mind then.
And for me, personally, because I am a non-nerd, Roger had to explain the sequence of movies. I was like, what are we talking about here? I seen all 6. He was like, they're not in order. I looked at him sideways going, I seen all 6. When you talk about they're not in order, I seen them in order that was released.
The thing. Karen has sat through all of these movies with me. This is the first time I ever was excited to explain a plot to her, you know? Like, before all these, I was kind of like, you know, it's just American craziness, baby, blowing shit up. Tig old bitties and women in little shorts and, like, caught fast cars and fighting for no reason. But now it's kind of like, well, actually, Vin Diesel had his girl, his wife, or at the time went undercover. Yeah, that didn't see that happen in Fast Furious 3. So you got to, like, look that up. You know,
right.
Like, we're actually going back.
Yeah, I'm actually having, like, a geeky conversation with him. And I must say this for Aaron. When me and Roderick seen it, I messed around and forgot that I was in the movie theater and thought I was at home. So me and Roger sitting in the movie theater, and I fucking around. I was like, oh, shit, out loud. I was like, okay, wait a minute. There are other people in this movie theater with me.
Hey, yeah. Aaron, the only reason why I would put Fast 6 above Star Trek right now is not because it's a better movie, but just because I think my expectation levels for Fast 6 were just like, okay, it's going to be a fun, exciting action movie. But it far exceeded that. And so the excitement of me coming out of there, Star Trek is still, to me, a better overall movie.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. You can't go wrong with either one of those.
No, you can't.
As long as you don't see The Hangover 3, you're good.
I don't know. I'm not going to see that foolishness.
But I don't know how many people know this about Aaron, but he is also a big fan of Impossible White Man genre.
Oh, you are? Good.
So.
It's the greatest genre. It is the greatest films America's ever generated.
Yeah, and this it doesn't get any more impossible than this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's pretty damn impossible.
I call it Impossible White Man Crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the whole crew.
Posse cut.
Yeah.
But speaking of movies, I was watching some trailers played before the actual Fast and Furious movie. The first thing is, Hollywood, we're good. You can stop the Man of Steel trailers now.
Yes.
Everyone's going to see it. So let's stop wasting everyone's time. I don't need to see any more of the action. I would like to have my mind blown when I sit in the theater.
You know what, though? I don't know, man. I see a lot of these trailers, mm-hmm. but they don't show anything.
The Man of Steel trailers?
Yeah, right. They show you, like, the trailer's like 2 minutes long, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say the 3 minute long one. There's been four of them. So let's say 12 minutes. The movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I don't think any of that action is really spoiled.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying.
Not yet.
Stop now.
Yes, not yet.
I'm going to see it. Everyone who's seen that trailer just needed to see the 30 seconds, 20 seconds of action they added a couple months, like last month.
And
now you can stop. You don't even have to, like, I don't want to wait another couple weeks and the next thing you know, you're showing, like, him fighting Zod and all that. Nope. You have me. And you have everyone. I speak for everyone right now. There's no one that saw these trailers and was thinking about seeing this movie who's like, not yet, man. I need to be sold.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm a little not excited yet. Yeah. I've seen a lot of those people. Fuck those people. They're lying.
Yeah. Allow some room for people's minds to be blown. But what were you going to say, Aaron?
No, I was saying I'm fully on the Superman's not an interesting character train. But when I saw the trailer, I was like, well, maybe he can be. Maybe he's a little interesting. Maybe. Let's see. And there you go. And they got me in the theater right there.
That's the perfect amount of anticipation you need. I don't think, like, I think what they messed up with, the last Superman movie, especially the trailers, was when they start showing so much of the, like, and now he's lifting an entire island of kryptonite out of water. And you're like, what is this fucking movie gonna be about? And that's not the right question to have walking in the theater, man. Mm-hmm. So I like this theater, this action of like, maybe this will be good. He's punching stuff. All right, let's go.
You know what bothers me though? Like, listen, we're nerds, and we're a kind of a nerd.
Right.
We're not those full rabbit nerds, but we're a kind of a nerd. And what bothers me is when nerds be like, "Yeah, I'm not even excited to see that movie." You're gonna see that fucking movie. Like, I remember when Green Lantern came out, and while I still don't think it's the worst movie of all time, it's still pretty bad. We were in line for the screener for it, reading the Rotten Tomatoes reviews going, well, it's probably going to be bad. Yeah, you're right. Oh, well. And we're sitting, like, we didn't leave the line knowing that we knew it was going to be bad.
Right.
We stayed there. Why? Because we're nerds. I did not want to see First Class. I kept telling people, I'm not going to see First Class when it first comes out. Guess who went to the movie theater to see First Class when it first came out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've stopped, like, the Justice League movie they do could be some shit. They could have everything seem like it's wrong coming up. I'm still going to go see it.
Right.
Like, I just want people to stop. You're going to see that fucking movie.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, also, there's like a certain level of anger I just don't want in my life anymore.
Nope, not worth it.
So, like, I can't get but so mad about nerd stuff because at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's like, it's still gotta kind of have a place of like, well, it's all fiction. You know, like my adult voice kicks in sometimes when I start getting mad, where it's like, yo, man, fuck them, man. I can't believe they did. And then like my adult voice comes in like, Rod, you liked that when you were 10 and you didn't know anything about the world and you thought this made sense and some of it doesn't. And don't you go back and watch Transformers. Do not put that DVD down. Like sometimes I need that in me to like balance it out because at the end of the day, man, I feel like we're living our dream. And we're going to get into it a little bit more when we talk about the Xbox. But I remember Aaron said something on G-Chat one time where he said, there's pretty much no more bad video games. There's only, you know, 8 out of 10 games that we just don't like, or everything's fucking good now. Like, even these movies that suck, like some of these movies, I walk out and go, that was fucking terrible. There was no Jonah Hex movie in the '80s. And if they did it, it'd be even worse than the shit that I watched. So
that's true.
I have in my house a single Blu-ray copy of Batman and Robin. Mm. So I never forget. It's like a monument to 9/11. Never forget what happened before.
Dude, I don't have it now. I think it's in my mom's house. I had the cassette tape.
Of Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, see, you should keep that. People should remember where we come from. What movies were like in the early 90s. Every movie, even just say Green Lantern, Jonah Hex, these are wonderful, wonderful representations of characters that would have been destroyed in 1988.
Well, that's why I actually like having Netflix. Yeah. Because Netflix will humble you. Like, go back and watch some of your favorite TV shows or your favorite cartoons. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know what? One of my favorite movies is Ninja Assassin. Because I love ninjas and I'm unreasonably love anything with ninjas in it, pretty much. But I tried to watch like The Ninja from like 1982 or some shit on Netflix. No. And you can just tell where there's just shit where they're like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if like the ninja popped out of the wall and then like chopped that dude's head off and then disappeared back into the wall? And they're like, yeah, we can't do that. So, what we're gonna do?
You're talking about stuff that we can't create at this time, and
right.
And the thing about it, I guess the thing that I really love is that for the first time ever, we're the first generation that lived to see a lot of our cartoons, a lot of our comics come to life, which is a good thing, but also which is a bad thing, because some of it you're like, nobody watched that shit when I was a kid. Why are you bringing back, you know, Boo Boo Bear when nobody watched that and
or put them in 3D? Or like Battleship. Some of these weren't even like cartoons. They were just like
video games.
Remember the game Life?
Remember the game Uno?
Now Marky Mark starring in an adventure by Hasbro. Yeah. But yeah, man. So, Superman, I'm in, and you can chill with the trailers. I saw this new trailer for this movie called Elysium with Matt Damon.
Power suit.
That shit looks interesting as hell, man. Like, I kind of get this feeling, Impossible White Man,
of course.
And I've decided that one of the things that makes Impossible White Man movies good is when a dude needs a hit pretty bad. And Matt Damon needs a hit, man. I've been looking at some of these movies he's been doing. He did a straight to HBO movie that's coming out this Sunday. So like, I'm feeling like that guy needs to get his paper right, and this might be it. So I'm in for Impossible White Man in a super mech suit. Like,
yeah, I've been reading up on that movie, and it actually has a pretty interesting concept. So I might be down for seeing that.
Yeah, you know? Impossible Matt Damon. It's been a while since he really went Impossible on us, man. I think it's been since like the Bourne trilogy.
Yeah, last one, the very last Bourne movie. Yep.
Yeah, that's been a minute, dude. The other two trailers I saw was R.I.P.D., a.k.a. Men in Dead.
Yeah.
Clap, clap. You know what? I still want to see it.
Me too.
It looks silly. It's probably going to be terrible.
Of course.
And I still want to see it.
The cool thing about that trailer was that it was almost like shot for shot the Men in Black trailer. And I know it's based off of a comic book, but it looks like the Men in Black movie. And yeah. I was just like, you guys have
it's
to
no way it can be as good as Men in Black. And even Men in Black has some questionable, like, I know people question 2 and 3 as far as how good they were. Which, you know, I wouldn't even argue with you if you don't like those movies, but
right.
Yeah, it's not worth saving. But
don't say that ho, Rod. Don't say that ho.
Yeah. I like the third one, but I saw it by myself in the theater. And, it had a black fatherhood moment in it. And, I realized that my weakness for black fatherhood on screen is always going to trump whatever the fuck silly movie I'm watching. So it just had that like, and that was his black daddy. I was like, oh, Will Smith, no. So it had like Will Smith tears combined with black fatherhood, which is why I'm seeing After Earth, by the way. But,
of course.
Yeah, this looks way worse because it's like Ryan Reynolds, who just can't. Like, he can't get a hit, man.
I like him too. I like him. But he just, like, I need him to do an Impossible White Man movie.
Yeah. Yo, he tried with Safe, but then Denzel came in and became the lead of Impossible White Man in that movie. He just stole it right from under him, dude. Right. Like, let me show you how you hit these tropes, dude.
Right. I need him to do a own solo Impossible White Man movie to save himself. Like, maybe he got to go direct to DVD like Lockout did.
Yeah, you know? He might have to. That shit brought Guy Pearce all the way back.
Yeah, so yeah.
Maybe that's what he needs, dude. But yeah, so this looks pretty terrible. The last nerd thing, and I'm actually excited about this one. Kick-Ass 2.
Yes!
I saw the trailer for that today. Only negative thing, Morris Chestnut was in it for like 2 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah, he's replacing the other dude, the other nameless black dude from the first.
That was the father,
movie.
Yeah.
Right, and you're absolutely right. I hate that fact too. That's the one problem I have.
I'm hoping he dies somehow quickly, cause they didn't show him in a lot of the trailers, so I'm just hoping like that's taken care of, like his car blows up or something. But, yeah, Kick-Ass 2, man. I don't know how, Aaron, did you ever see Kick-Ass, man?
Of course I did.
Oh yeah, you a fan of that or?
Of course, I love Kick-Ass. I swear by it.
All right, yeah, that's what's up, man. Cool. I fucks with Kick-Ass, man. So I'm geeked up to see like Kick-Ass 2, and you know they finally got a trailer coming out, and I'm sure they're gonna do all the. I like that they make fun of all the silly superhero notions in a like more real world environment.
Yeah,
and this time it looks like they're going after the team up idea.
Yeah.
So that's always funny. They actually show Kick-Ass talking to Hit Girl, and he's like, haven't you ever wanted to be part of something bigger than yourself? And I'm like, oh my God, this is like Avengers, except they're going to put on pajamas and go in the street and fight people.
I was worried about 2013 movie-wise, but 2013 is shaping up to be just as big as 2012. Maybe not as big, but we'll see what Man of Steel does in June. But it could be as big as 2012, man, because we're getting some, you know, Fast 6 surprised me so much that it was good. I'm like, yo, I think we might have reached a point where action and comic movies realize they have to step up.
Yeah.
Like, even the complaints about Iron Man 3, they kind of bother me because I think that's still a good movie. But I'm like, we become so spoiled with good movies that we won't even let good movies like Iron Man 3 really get a pass or some things because you're like, well, it's not as good as Avengers. I mean, that's the bar we've set now, which to me can only mean good things.
Comparing Iron Man 3 to the Avengers?
It's stupid. But I like the fact that we are comparing things to good things. Where before, we're just like, you know, the first X-Men comes out, we're just like, well, I mean, Wolverine's claws look good, and they used their power for like 5 minutes in the movie, so it wasn't horrible. So, okay. You know, we had to compare like X-Men and Spider-Man 1 and all the things to like Batman and Robin. And so we were just like, damn, we didn't really have anything to compare it to. Now you actually have good movies to compare it to, and people are trying. Like, I really feel like if Fox fucks up First Class and the Wolverine, people aren't going to forgive them no more.
No,
like, it's going to be done. You can't do that shit no more. That's why Sony gave the rights back to Ghost Rider, because they were like, yeah, we can't do this shit no more.
Yeah, and the other thing I think we're seeing that's exciting is the return of the science fiction film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it felt like that, I don't know, it felt like a few years ago that kind of died. And now you look down this year's roster of movies coming out, not to mention what's already been out. You had the science fiction movie with Tom Cruise that came out a couple weeks ago. Oblivion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know, your Star Trek and, you know, some of your, you know, Iron Man, stuff like that. But Elysium, there's a After Earth.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like the return of sci-fi, man. I like creating these worlds and these new rules, around these characters and watching that stuff play out. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about it, man. Even Riddick is getting a sequel.
I mean, next, and they're bringing it back to like the Pitch Black Riddick, which I love. My guilty pleasure movie. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I fucking love Pitch Black. Mm-hmm. I saw that Riddick trailer and was like, hey, listen, it might be. I don't give a shit. But next to Impossible White Man movie, sci-fi movies are my next favorite genre.
Yeah,
movie.
Me too.
So I love it. Yeah.
I don't understand. Can you like other genres of movies? Are you even going to movies then? Like you like Impossible White Man movies and then sci-fi and then what else is there? Romantic comedies. Yeah,
comedies.
I'm not saying that those movies are bad. I just don't like. I'll watch them. Like I remember when Black Swan came out, and I went to watch Black Swan, and I saw True Grit because everybody was talking about how good these movies are. And no doubt a good movie, but I was just like, I paid theater prices to watch this shit.
Yeah,
I don't like watching those in the theater because it's like they're depressing, and I don't like I remember when the big thing about Django was, well, it's not real, and Tarantino made a spaghetti western, and I'm like, yeah, I know, because I will watch that. I don't want to watch a depressing slavery film because life is depressing. Fuck that.
That's the truth.
I'm on a level with you guys. I'm from New York, so I literally am throwing $20 at every film I see by myself. So I literally will say, this movie looked too easy to make. I don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
It literally looked too easy. Where's the visual effects? What happened? Why is Superman not flying into the... You mean to tell me you guys had five sets and I'm paying $20?
Right.
No, I'm not.
That's a valid response, man.
No, that is. That's very logical, actually.
Yeah. Not to mention, I forgot to say Pacific Rim.
Oh, shit.
Which, yeah. I don't know how people feel about giant mech things, but I pretty much grew up on this genre and have watched most anime that involves giant mechs, too.
Yes.
So it's like they made this movie, and then after the trailer, it goes, Roderick Morrow. We'll see you July 12th.
Gundam,
You want to talk about a trailer they had to see nothing more for? When they showed the dude with the mech grabbing that boat and hitting that fucking monster with the fucking boat, that's what I was like, in.
Yeah, that's the thing about this one too, is the more action they show, I get excited in the trailer, and then the more I'm like, stop, don't do anything else. I just want to, if someone picks up the Eiffel Tower and starts swashbuckling with it, I want to be completely surprised, man. But yeah, I'm going to see that shit too. Yeah. And I
love the fact that also that it seems like people are finally, they caught on to your coining the Impossible White Man phrase. And now they're like, okay, we're going to be more impossible now. Like, that's what they were like.
Oh, yes.
Fast Five was good, but it wasn't impossible enough. So what we're going to do is so we're going to have a whole entire scene where The Rock violates every fucking civil rights law in the world and just beats up a guy in an interrogation room for the fuck of it.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruin it for Aaron.
But yeah, I'm just telling you that scenes like that happen. You're just like, why is he doing it? And I'm just like, because it's impossible.
Yes.
Yes.
That's pretty much the explanation for everything in this movie.
And all that matters. And I can't wait to watch the Impossible Mexican movie Machete Part 2.
Oh, Kills.
God, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, Machete I saw that Kills, trailer. Yo. That is the only movie that is Impossible Mexican. That's not.
Oh, yeah. It's,
that's
it's,
actually
it's
not
own,
Impossible White Man. I went and saw that in the theater. So.
Oh, we had so much fun when we
yeah,
see it.
If people think I'm bullshitting, sit down and watch that movie. It's not Impossible White Man. That is pure Mexican.
Yeah. Impossible Mexican.
Yeah. Like immigration
gotta,
and shit comes up.
You gotta eat a burrito before you watch that shit, yo.
Dog. Immigration and shit comes up. There's no Impossible White Man movies dealing with immigration.
Oh, no.
I gotta say, that was the last time I saw Steven Seagal in a film and I actually enjoyed the fuck out of him, yo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
His death scene. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler, but trust me, it's not. You gotta see. It's the greatest death scene of all time, yo.
Yeah. By the way, the movies I didn't talk about, and that's because I haven't heard anything about these, but they're on this list. Short Circuit is getting a reboot.
Oh, we're talking about Johnny Five?
Yeah, Johnny Five. A movie I loved as a kid. I'll probably end up seeing that somehow out of nostalgia.
Depends on the trailer for me.
Say what? Don't do it. I will probably see it. I'm not gonna lie.
Depending on the trailer.
Me and Johnny Five go together, dog. That's my nigga. Forever, dog. I watched all those terrible movies.
Me too.
But you know what people don't realize about Short Circuit, and it'll be interesting if it comes up in 2013. Pretty racist movie.
Yes, it was.
Pretty racist. Bunch of racist stereotypes all throughout those movies. Not sure that we're ready for that in 2013.
And that's why I don't think that movie's gonna be good. Cause I think there's certain movies, like from the 80s and 90s, that had those stereotypes in them, and you kind of still need them.
Yeah.
You mean like G.I. Joe?
Yeah. Yes, like G.I. Mm-hmm. Joe.
G.I. Yeah. Joe with no racism is nothing at all.
You know, I believe that.
That's true, man. Like, The Rock plays Roboc in the new G.I. Joe and never once hits a rhyme, other than when he quoted Jay-Z. Like, right, he never.
Go on.
I wanted him to just have one of those, like, Snake Eyes is trying to move, but I got the guns that'll make you groove. Let's go, JoJo. I wanted that.
Like some train.
Yeah. I feel like Rock looked at that script and went, no.
No, I'm not
bring,
doing
bring
that.
Me some real words.
Who, by the way, is having an amazing year.
Oh, he's
isn't
back.
He dope?
He's all the way back, man.
Pain yeah. and gain, yes.
Thank God his kids got older, you know, because he said he wasn't going to do any movies his kids couldn't see.
I got time to see him in a tutu dancing around Disney movies.
Yeah, I don't know how those motherfuckers went from 6 to 27 so fast, but thank you, little kids.
Right. Cause, well, it's probably the same steroids he's using, so.
The other one was Mad Max. Apparently they're redoing that. So
we're going to be Mad Max.
I bet it really are, because if not, it's going to be some bullshit.
According to this, Nicholas Hoult is starring in it. Zoe Kravitz, Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, and Riley Cole. I never heard of her. Mm. But Tom Hardy is supposed to be the main guy.
Here's the problem with that. Mel Gibson is fucking crazy as fuck. I think we know that now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why he could play Mad Max.
Yep. Yeah.
Mel Gibson's insanity makes his entire catalog more relevant. Looking at Mad Max now, you're like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. When I rewatched it, like a couple years ago, I could not get past his crazy eyes and shit. I was like, man, right. He's carrying this movie. And not to mention, Mad Max has like 65 pages of script with no words.
Right.
So there's that. I don't know if you can do that in 2013.
Yeah, it's just him being looking crazy. Right. But I think you mentioned that I saw you talking about to somebody on Twitter. You were talking about how Tom Cruise is crazy and it makes his movies better.
Mm-hmm.
And people were mad at him for it because of Scientology and shit like that. And I'm like, no, you're absolutely right. Ever since he jumped on Oprah's couch, yo, Tom Cruise has been pumping him out, yo.
Nothing. Hey, he's in the Impossible White Man Hall of Fame, dude.
Oh, if, yes,
as
he
far
is.
As I'm concerned. And it's not even questionable.
Mm-mm.
That dude delivers every fucking time. He still runs like a 20-year-old.
Yes, he does.
It doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to be mad at people. I'm not going to join in on these people who want to be like, Scientology and it's a cult. If that shit is what's keeping him clean, then everybody needs to get in on it, man. If that's what's doing it for Will Smith too, good, man. Scientology is fine with me.
No, I'm serious. It's like, people are like, yeah, Will Smith. They have all these people that are Scientologists. I'm like, but those people are actually kind of awesome.
Right. Name some people that suck. That if you really want to like get me on board of Scientology
John
and shit.
Travolta, yo.
Right. No, I mean worse. You got to go like fucking
way down.
I need you to start naming people where I'm like, God, man, I saw that movie and he really ripped me off. Like I need that shit in my life. All right. So that's the movie segment. So, I saw an article and I just thought I'd run this by the panel. Karen's here. So this will be even more, stuff, but, why aren't there any women in the Call of Duty games, and especially in multiplayer? It seems like something that would be easy to do.
Because dudes are scared. And this is just my perspective. I think a lot of dudes are, when it comes to those type of games, it's a manly man type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some dudes just afraid of just vagina anywhere near their manly stuff. And titties, they're like, no, we can't have that around here. Even though I think it would be good. And a lot of dudes actually pay female characters in a lot of games and all that stuff. It's a high percentage of male that plays the female characters because a lot of females don't even play these games.
Yeah, I have a female character in Borderlands.
When I play the next run through I do of the Mass Effect series, I'm going to do a female Shepard. Because I've never done a female Shepard before.
Yeah, I'd like the option. I don't know, like, it. To me, it's weird that this is a thing that the guys at Call of Duty even feel.
I think I know the reason mm-hmm. for it. It's not a good reason because it's not. They go past realism all the time.
Yeah.
But there aren't any. When you do these special ops teams in real life, there aren't any women in combat.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's a cop out excuse if you think about it, because they could do it, but. The truth of the matter is you don't have a female SEAL operator.
Yet, right?
Yeah. And so I think...
Because some of these games happen in like 2077 and
right.
shit.
Right. Like the last one, there's no excuse. For like Black Ops 2, they could have done it. They could have done it for Black Ops 2. But
I'm on a level with you guys. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty in my life. And there's one thing I feel like we've all... If you just think about all the Call of Duty campaigns you've ever played once they walked away from World War II.
Mm.
Everyone involved just isn't that bright.
That's true.
They're just not that creative.
That's a good point.
Remember, Black Ops 2, they just fell back mad hard on the brown people, the treacherous, mad hard. Like, and you talk about it, I bet you if you ask them about it, they will go, oh, I didn't know. Because they've been doing this for years. It's not very thoughtful storytelling. It's not very inclusive. Call of Duty is like every Schwarzenegger movie from 1980 to 1992. It just is what it is. So I think the reason why, literally, I would argue really why it's happening, why there's no women, is because they just aren't that bright. They don't know. Literally, yeah. I bet you if we started a mild letter writing campaign, we'd get women in the Call of Duty. All we do is like, hey guys, you should put women in the game. Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, that's a good idea. Hey, guys! And then, women all over Call of Duty forever. It just seems to be the trend. They're just not that quick.
I think the bigger issue, Rod, is, I know the new graphics and shit like that for Ghosts, but this might be the first time in a while that I don't actually buy a Call of Duty game.
Yep. Even on the Xbox One, dog. Well, I don't care.
We're going to get to that later, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, that shit didn't blow me away at all. No offense to their hard work. I think the most moment I saw in that trailer was, there's a part where they were underwater in a river. And I was like, the water graphics are beautiful. And then right back to like, and then they killed 27 people. I was like, yeah, that's cool too.
Well, the problem for Call of Duty is going to be that, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out before that.
Oh shit.
So nigga, I'm going to be busy.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll see you guys in a year or so. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, and that Grand Theft Auto 5 you was talking about, it's going to be 18 different people playing? I don't understand this.
It's three different characters. I actually have a story about that.
I was confused looking at it.
Another video game and this is just more of a public service announcement to everybody. If you go on Amazon now and order your copy of Batman Arkham Origins, and don't pretend you're not going to get it, guys, okay? Like, I don't give a fuck. If that trailer literally would have had a 8-bit sprite punching another 8-bit sprite, I'd still be like, Arkham Origins is out! So, I'm getting it, and might as well get it now, because you get like a 10-buck gift card from Amazon if you get it now, cool. And some exclusive, like, DLC, and you get to, like, play as, what is the guy who runs the prison?
Deathstroke?
Deathstroke? No, he don't run the prison. But, that's who's in the trailer, Deathstroke. You get to play as Deathstroke. Do it now rather than wait till the last minute if you can, because just remember that who sent you.
You're gonna get that shit, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now to get to these articles, AT&T, this is nerd shit. Mm-hmm. They're adding 61 cent, mobility fees to everybody's wireless bill.
What does that mean?
Apparently a spokesperson for AT&T said the new charge is consistent with similar fees charged by other carriers and that it will help cover certain expenses such as interconnection and cell site rents and maintenance.
And will it help me get better reception? Because that's why we changed, because you could get any reception.
Mm-hmm. I believe the correct answer is stuff and things, Karen.
Okay.
It will pay for stuff.
And right. And that was so bad. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I just like that they threw that fee in there. Like, what will it pay for? Interconnection and...
I feel like you should be allowed to throw a smoke pellet at the ground and disappear. Like, that should be a valid press response. Like, it's like, why are you having... And then you're gone. Like, oh, well, are you representative...
I'd like I like the press conference of it's 61 fucking cents. Like, I'm waiting on that guy, cause you know you can't do that PR wise. You can never say like people's money doesn't matter or like something is a little bit of money. But I'm waiting for the first dude to really flip out and be like, it's 61 cents. That's a fucking soda. Come on, guys.
No, I'm actually gonna say what I want is the first wireless company that has a guy to come out and says, because we fucking can.
Even better response.
Because then I'm gonna be like, fuck, they got me. It's almost like when Netflix came out and raised the prices and everybody was mad at him, and I was just like, listen, you guys are still gonna have Netflix, so just you know.
It would have been It would have been dope if he would have been like, here's the thing. Have you guys looked at the fine print on your contracts?
Yeah.
because you can get out right now, but you probably owe us right, you probably owe us about $600. So just whatever, like, you guys want to do, it's up to you.
Like, Sprint right now can do whatever the fuck they want to me because I get unlimited data. So I'm just like, okay. Well, you keep that limited data, I don't, you know.
We switch phone companies and that shit cost us so much. Like, just to get reception, it's like, we're not getting any reception at work. We're not getting any reception. Well, it looks like we're going to have to switch. We switch and it's like, you get an extra bill after you pay your last wireless bill. It's like, about them phones, dog.
I like how when you switch because you couldn't get coverage. Right. And you had to pay them because your phone didn't work. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry we couldn't cover you in the area that we said we would cover you in. But here's this bill, nigga, because you left us.
Right. Yep. Yep. So just watch it back, people. A bidder paid, by bidder, like in an auction bidder, paid $1.5 million for a space date with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Talking about like up in the air, above the Earth space?
Yeah. How much would you pay to get locked in a spaceship with DiCaprio? An auction benefit to AIDS research, a man buys 3 days of training and a trip to suborbital space with the Gatsby star.
Wow.
Now, I wonder if it's weird because it's a dude. Like, if Leonardo DiCaprio was, like, really hoping there was a chick. Or if he's cool with this. Or, like, I wonder if he's kind of like, well, it is going to AIDS, but what's the second highest bid? Is that
can
a
your
chick?
Wife go?
Like, yeah, is any women gonna be on this flight? Cause I'll pay for a chick. No? Okay.
That's why I couldn't be a celebrity, cause ain't no way I'm doing that shit. It's like, yo, can't we just do, how about we do a movie, yo?
Yo, can't we do a movie for the AIDS?
Cause I'm sorry, this just sounds like an impossible white man plot. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to space to be with some celebrity and then, you know, something happens and you gotta fight terrorists to come back down to Earth or some shit. Like, nah, man.
A bidder at Cannes charity auction agreed to fork out that much for a seat in space beside the star who played flight mad Howard Hughes in The Aviator. What, now, what if you get up there and he starts doing his fucking his impersonation of Howard Hughes? Now, that'll scare you. It's like, I'm gonna pee in this bottle real quick.
But, bro, what you missed is, at first it said it was a date. Now it's just like, you get to sit next to the dude, yo.
Mm-hmm.
By the time this ends up happening, Leo gonna be in first class and he's gonna be in the back somewhere, yo.
Of course.
It's like, now hop on the trailer. There you go, buddy.
How many games of Street Fighter did Leonardo DiCaprio lose before he got lost the bet? He must have lost something went down. He lost a game of horse or some shit. And he ain't going into space. He's like, can't I just hand you the money? Like, nope, you lost a game of horse. Got your big ass mouth. Go into space with that dude. By right. Your damn self.
This is like him, Will Smith, Brad Pitt. Like, it's nobody but big time stars. And maybe like Jude Law would throw him in there because no one's heard of him in a while.
I'm not gonna lie to you, if we were to be famous people and we played a game of horse to spend 6 hours with some weird fan, I would be going hard as hell. I ain't losing no damn game of horse to spend a Saturday afternoon with some awkward fan.
You know what? This is what you would bet once money is no object to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like what George Clooney would tell Leo. It's like, look, I'll play you 1-on-1 to 5, but loser goes to space with a random fan.
With a deranged fan.
Yeah. And all the money goes to AIDS. You can't keep any of that money, man. It's like, all right, man, let's do it. I'll fucking bust your ass.
Hey, no, man, that was no foul. That was no foul. You ain't bleeding.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. Hardest game of 21 ever, dude. Did you just undercut your best friend? Fuck him, man. I'm not going to space with no fucking weirdo. Oh. Speaking of auctions and bidding on shit, Apple One, breaks auction record, goes for $671,400. There's one of the, what's thought to be only 6 working Apple One computers, hand built by Steve Wozniak. And, it was auctioned off for $671,000. The last one went for $640,000. What kind of nerd do you have to be?
And how slow does it move?
Right. You're spending money on something that really doesn't do anything now.
Bet you that shit can't even dream about connected to the internet.
Like, you're probably like, I would like to balance my checkbook on this, cause it's the same as a calculator.
Yep. Yeah.
That's one, you know what? I'm not gonna lie though, cause since I collect antique shit, mm-hmm. I would buy some shit like that if I was rich, just to put it like almost in a museum, cause somebody would pay you even more for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, that's why
as an investment.
Why, like, some of that
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you got that kind of money, that's the other thing you do when money's not an object to you. You buy shit like that just to say you got it. You'd be like, yeah, it's only 106 in the world.
They don't even tell you who bought it because, like that, it's that it like it's worth that much. Like, you can't even tell who got this shit because, like, people probably fuck them up.
You'd be surprised at what some of these motherfuckers sell and buy. Holy shit, man! And just shit. Some of the shit goes. I do it all the time when I'm talking about comic books. I'll be seeing what these prices on eBay are for some of these comic books, man. And I'm just like, yeah, I could never be that rich. Like,
yeah,
$115,000 for like an X-Men one. That's like a 7.5.
I just want to
$15,000.
I just want to like be that asshole friend that once he gets it all set up, I'm like, hey man, so let's play some games on it.
Like, yeah.
It's like, fuck you, man. I'm like,
yo,
no.
What are the graphics like, yo?
Yeah, yo, dog, you want to play some Space Invaders? No?
No.
Okay, man. All right.
Speaking of that, yo, people do that. They buy the, like, not this expensive, but they do that with the arcade games. They'll go out and get the big arcade, old arcade games.
Yeah.
That shit, they'll be paying big bucks for that shit, man.
See,
like,
I...
To play some arcade. Pong,
well,
they'll get a
the
Pong
thing.
One.
Well, you can use them.
Right. Yeah.
You can use them. A fucking Apple computer takes 7 minutes to turn on. What the fuck you doing?
What? Right.
a Pong arcade game though, yo.
Mm.
It's arcade games. I'll admit have a feel and an atmosphere and are usable. I would get if I was swimming in money like Scrooge McDuck, I would have an arcade in my basement, and all the games would be from 1988 to 2000. And I can't guarantee I wouldn't have Pong.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee it.
I definitely have Killer Instinct.
I would have Crazy Taxi.
Oh man.
Yeah, dog.
With the car.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Taxi with
and
the steering wheel.
And I know, actually had a car. In a car you physically see.
Yeah,
in.
Oh, that was the shit.
Yeah, Terminator 2, the arcade game with the two Uzis.
Yes.
And then its sequel, the Aerosmith game, where you inexplicably shot CDs at the screen for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know what? you know what this conversation just made me sad about? That because of To Catch a Predator and pedophiles,
right.
I can't go to an arcade or go to a Chuck E. Cheese and play those video games.
That's what I've been saying for years, Chris. Like, one of the issues I have with this generation, and I try to keep my issues with this generation, like, pretty low. Because, you know, every generation is, like, thinks the one after them is fucked up. But, like, one of the reasons these kids have way too much pride and stuff is because there's no chance that they can be molested on a Saturday afternoon at a fucking video game place in the mall. And it's frustrating, man.
Like a creepy dude with the fanny pack.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I knew to have a certain amount of respect and fear of adults. These kids don't have that anymore, man. Like, the Disney Channel is ruining these little motherfuckers, man. They roll their eyes and get attitudes with strangers. Like, hey, son, can you get off the court? We're trying to play full court. I don't have to get off the court because I'm like, what? When did this happen? This is what happens when you don't have anyone working at the bicycle shop trying to get up on Dudley. Anyway.
As wrong as that is, you're right, though.
You need a little chance, dude. I'm not saying it's good, but just a little balancing now,
like,
that'll humble you.
I would feel weird as shit if I went into a Chuck E. Cheese just to play the fucking video games, yo. And people be looking at him like, look at him, he's a pedophile.
Exactly.
Because you want to, like, you can only do things like go to, that's why Dave and Buster's kind of works, because that's for adults.
Yes.
That's the only thing you can do. Like, it sucks, man.
It's like, dude, this is the only Killer Instinct console in the fucking county. They're like, yeah, I know, but you don't have any kids, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Right.
But look, I need to brush up on my Street Fighter. Yes, sir. I'm calling the police right now.
Yeah, look,
don't you dare try to challenge the high score kid by playing him in Street Fighter, because then you're really we're gonna call the cops on this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's way too into this. It's like, nah, man, I'm just playing video games. But sir, he's 13.
At GameStop in the mall, my friend and I, my coworker, we go every day for lunch in the mall. Eat as fast as possible in the food court, and then rush to GameStop to play Halo on the original Xbox, because we both had PlayStations and we were scared to buy Xbox. So, but we would play the shit out of this game. Like, we beat the game from the fucking demo.
Had a save file?
Yeah, no. Well, we no, the demo, not the whole game. Like, yeah,
the whole game. Wow.
Yeah. Like, the demo is a pretty extensive campaign, especially if you like go out and like do everything you can in the first Halo. But it's just like the first level, and we would just go there, spend about 30 minutes every day till we figured out how to beat it in 30 minutes or whatever. So there was one time we go in there, and like a little kid was on the controller, And I took the number two controller and was like, hey, dog, get up off these sticks. My boy want to play. Like, just like real calm. Him. Just like real calm, man. And he got off the sticks, man. And like, that day is done. If I did that right now, that kid would be like, I'm going to call the security because I have rights as a kid. And you can't be telling me this shit. And it's like, oh, man, what happened to y'all, man? Just... one child molester is all we need.
If I had a child and I was like on the other side of the GameStop and I saw you strong on my boy, I would let it happen. I'd be like, listen, son, just don't. But damn, no, son, you need to understand where your place is. That man could crush your skull if I wasn't here. You're going to call a cop? What are you going to do?
Right.
He's a grown ass man. He got a grown ass man reason for needing to play that game so badly.
Right. That man has 30 minutes on his lunch break. You don't have shit to do for the rest of the afternoon.
It's Saturday. You got 12 hours. It's late for him to get off the machine.
Right. Oh man, yeah. Parents your kids. All right, and there was I think there was like one more. Oh yeah. Consumer spending on iOS games, you know, so like iPhones, iPads and stuff, outpaces 3DS and Vita.
Yes, this is not surprising news.
That makes sense,
yeah. That about sound right?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder though, like, should companies stop doing handhelds? Like, is there
I don't see why you need it.
Well, the question is, what do you want to do? If you introduce the PS Vita and you're trying to defeat a cell phone in terms of penetration or however popular, it's absurd. Everyone has a cell phone. Not everyone's going to want a dedicated portable game device. It's just, you understand you're operating at it. You're going to be behind Apple. You're just going to be. Everyone is. Well, so I don't know why. If you're making a portable game console trying to beat Nintendo, then that's kind of... I mean, trying to beat Apple.
What they need to do is you need to find a way to, and this is going to happen eventually, to blend a phone into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only. I mean, I'm not going to carry a portable that, and then I got a tablet, and then I also got a phone too.
Yep.
Not happening, son. Because
well,
I can
according
get
to
internet,
yeah,
internet,
ahead.
Netflix, and everything else on my tablet, I can just play, you know, some probably not as good. Version of a full version, full game, console version of a game. Nah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is culturally. That's Nintendo and PlayStation. Over in Japan and China, handhelds are huge. Like, that it's really, really, really big over there because a lot of them do mass transit. So they sell like crazy over there. They don't sell in the United States.
Oh yeah, that's a good
point.
And
for a lot of people, it's like they don't understand that here in America, we're not trying to hear that. And unless they're going to actually, like you say, make it where it's a cell phone or do a combination, they're never going to get the sales here. Because why would I pay $100, $200, $300, $500 for some shit when I could spend the same thing on a cell phone? So not only can my kid play a video game, I can call them on this device also.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's a great point, Karen. And I'm also wondering, cause I've never been to like Japan or anything like that, but... like, what is their broadband situation? Like, their wireless situation? Do they have, like, coverage in, like, their major cities that's free?
Yeah, I do wonder that. Cause, like,
they have
a lot of mass transit. Yeah. And a lot of the overseas advertisements that I see for handheld is just, you can play against the guy on the other side of the subway, train and be, like, battling in Street Fighter. Right. So I wonder if they do have, like, some, you know, some sort of internet situation, because I hear that the United States internet situation is not even that good.
No, it's actually terrible compared to the rest of the country. Rest of the world. I'm sorry. Our infrastructure is bad because in other countries they actually charge less for internet access. They charge like companies over here charge more money because our infrastructure initially was just made for talking. And then all of a sudden we get cell phones, we get where you get the internet and all, and you're eating up all this data, which our designs were never made for. And the companies are too cheap. They actually are waiting for the government. They're too cheap to pay for the upgrades where they can do these things. So that's why nobody wants to give you unlimited, because you basically tied up, you slow shit down. So they say versus that, we'll start charging you to use it when in other parts of the world, it's nickels and pennies for what we're paying hundreds of dollars for.
Right. And I think that's why, like, I think that's going to be the next thing. And we'll probably get into this when we're talking about the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the issue is no longer going to be the devices. It's going to be the infrastructure because, like I said, I didn't get when I like they sell you these tablets that are, you know, three like my I got a Samsung Galaxy tablet. Right. Mm-hmm. And I could have gotten the one that allows for 3G or 4G connectivity and just Wi-Fi. I just got the Wi-Fi one because people were like, well, you should have gotten the 3G one. I was like, no, because then I got to pay double for another data account from Sprint. Fuck that. Like, I got to pay $50 a month just to have the option of using my tablet. I'm already paying for data on my iPhone. Why can't I split that onto one bill? Mm. You know? And that's my problem with the way we charge for bandwidth in the United States. It's not economical for a person to be able to use these devices, all these devices. We have all these devices, but you can't really fucking use them because there's no coverage. I mean, even the 4G LTE coverage is like barely there in this country. And, you know, if you want 3G coverage, you still got to pay. Like, I got to get a separate $50 a month data plan from Sprint if I want to. If I want to do that,
right?
And, get the fuck out of here.
And for me, Chris, and I know you got to move on, babe. But for me, Chris, the thing that makes me upset is that people underestimate that it's actually really expensive to get like good data plans and things like that. So when people talk about people of poverty, why can't they get it? I was like, do you not understand? The average person spend hundreds of dollars a month on a fucking cell phone bill with wireless and all this stuff. If you're working for minimum wage, you cannot afford this.
Yeah.
Oh hell no.
Now. I gotta move on. I think I'm gonna start a new segment called the Rumor of the Week. Last week's Rumor of the Week was that EA is not gonna make any more games for the Wii U. This week's Rumor of the Week is EA is still making games for the Wii U.
Oh, we came back?
Yeah. So, this is why.
Does anybody own a Wii U?
No.
That I know? Or you mean just like in general, like, someone gotta be buying them, right?
Yeah, someone. I mean, like, what's the?
I don't know anyone, but somebody got one.
And their sales are low compared to the Wii. And I think we talked about. I don't know. Me and Wright talked about this. The Wii burnt a lot of people because it was a huge money pit. And so when people seen this, if you're not tech savvy, you're like, "What the hell is this?" So your grandma ain't gonna buy this because she's confused by it. And then people that bought it for their child is letting it collect dust. So I think. It's selling, but not like the Wii.
I feel like Microsoft kicked Nintendo in the nuts when they dropped the Kinect and were like, mm-hmm. "Yeah, we don't need a remote."
Mm. What are you gonna say, Aaron?
The original Wii outsells the Wii U. Wii U is just too expensive for what it is. It's too. How much does it still run for $300? Isn't it?
$300,
$200 controller. The controller itself is like $100.
Shit, really?
Yeah, and you only get one, which most people want two.
Yep, and you can't use two. If you use two, then the performance of the game suffers for some reason.
Wow, are you serious?
Oh yeah. My god.
The Wii U is objectively a ripoff in a way that anybody can see, so nobody bought it.
Holy shit.
Wow,
I didn't even know that, man.
Me either.
Like that's the thing about the Nintendo is, matter of fact, let's go ahead and start talking about this, I'm just going to tell everybody, Grand Theft Auto is going to have special editions released, and each one is going to have like different, apparently each character has like a power, and they haven't really unveiled what these powers are necessarily, but each version has like a boost for your power as a player. So this next Grand Theft Auto, I'm really intrigued to find out more about it because I wasn't even planning on getting it, to be quite honest with you. But the idea of you having some sort of special ability in this world, now I'm like, okay. I'd like to know what that means. So anyway, speaking of the Wii U, Nintendo to me has the model, ironically, the model of business that I think that caters to their hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also why I think they're marginalized. Cause, like, of any company, I would say the Nintendo their selling point is their games and your loyalty to said games. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know what? Every one of us knows at least one person that is a Nintendo fan that gets mm-hmm. geeked the fuck out when they see those, like, oh my God, another Zelda trailer. And they're just like, I gotta have this console. And you're like, well, that shit might not come out for 2 years. I have to have a Nintendo console because when that comes out, I have to play it. And that's just the end of it. And I feel like that model is what Xbox and PlayStation are stepping away from.
Mm-hmm.
In the latest reveal for the Xbox One, I only saw the like conference that they held on the actual Xbox console that you could like watch it. I only saw that, and Aaron's gonna go into a little bit like some of the stuff around it because he saw more than I did. They basically announced what I thought was the logical conclusion of what we learned from the last generation. We don't really sell gaming console anymore. We sell the internet.
And we sell an entertainment system. Yeah, that's what we sell.
Not just entertainment. They sell you the internet. True. And how to interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
Your TV comes through the internet now most of the time.
Yes, it does.
You're going to get your music. You're going to stream your video game. I'm going to stream your movies through the internet. You can even fucking buy movies and stuff on Xbox through the internet. And it's kind of slowly been going that way for a while. And I think at some point in time, that's what really sold me on this console more than any other console I've owned. Like, I really love my PS2. Man, the Dreamcast will always have a special place in my heart.
We stood in lines for the Dreamcast.
The only console I've ever stood in a line for.
Yes, we was at, the game store like 6 a.m. in the morning, standing in line for that.
Yeah, so... But the Xbox, by far, I had the lowest expectations of it. I waited the longest to get it. You know,
yeah,
this is the only,
long time.
Like, this generation console, I was like, you know what, man? I'm not getting it till I hear what the PlayStation 3 is costing and what all it can do. Cause fuck Xbox, other than when I played in, you know, GameStop and I kicked that kid off that controller. So, but this is the console that I like the most, man. Like, it just kind of became part of my, almost part of my household, as far as just, oh yeah, yeah, I'll play some I want to play, watch some Netflix, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to listen to some music, you know, interacting with my computers and shit, where I'm like, oh yeah, let me stream pornography from my computer to my TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is now my preferred way to watch that shit. So it is invaded every aspect of my life, just about. And not to mention friends and shit, where it's like, oh, Aaron's just having a Netflix party, I'm just gonna hop in and see what they're doing. Like, I don't even want shit. Just,
yo, that's the thing that gets me about Xbox. Nobody goes, yo, I'm gonna hop on a PSN network and chat with my friends.
Yeah.
People say, I'm gonna hop on Xbox Live and chat with everybody and see what's going on.
It's honestly never crossed my mind until I got an Xbox. Like, just the idea of hanging out on my Xbox is something that is like, if you would have told me that when I bought an Xbox, I would be like, you're fucking stupid. First of all, I'm paying $8 a month for this bullshit. It should be free. Second of all, and then all of a sudden I was like, huh, there's no riffraff really here. What is going on? I can pick my friends, I can just go hang out and watch like Netflix with them and shit. So I think they sold me on everything around video games, and it just happened to still have video games. But I think Aaron even was talking about like some of the qualities of their first person titles fell off after a while, and it didn't matter to me. That I couldn't even imagine a moment where I would be like, Yeah, that Gears of War sucked. I don't even want that shit. But I love my Xbox. I would have been like, oh, fuck it, they stopped putting out good games. I didn't play The Last Fable. The Halo that came out was not by Bungie anymore or whatever, even though it was excellent. But the point being, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what happened to Splinter Cell. They have sold me on all the other shit, and I think they just got me. So when they announced the Xbox One, they pretty much said, like, look, this is going to be your live sports hub. It's going to be your internet hub. It's going to be your, also it happens to play video games, which is cool sometimes. and I think they got me, man. Like, I actually was looking forward to shit like Skype on my Xbox, which is crazy to me that I'm looking forward to that, but I am.
Yes, and it's one of those things where I seen, I was like, wow. And I think for me, the Xbox made it where a lot of people, I've seen people like actually cancel cable because they were like, you know what, I can just get a ESPN app, I can just get a Netflix app, I can just, you know, do all these other things, and I don't have to pay for cable anymore. I just pay for internet access. And it's one of those things where they actually have changed things so much. That's why you got AT&T charging 61 cents, because they know that people are canceling shit and was like, you know what, I can do this all from my consoles now.
So
that's what I'm
hold on 1 second. So that's how I felt after watching it. Then I went on the internet and I realized that there's about five of us that that thought that shit was cool and nobody else, man. So I wanted to ask Aaron first because Aaron wrote like a really good blog post on like kind of the arrogance of Microsoft at this point and whatnot, man. Can you kind of run through like some of your issues with console?
The thing about Microsoft is that they have, like you said, they have all of us. So all they said, like at this point, literally all we needed to know was what day and how much. But they decided, like when the time came, they said, you know, they sat us down. And we're still gamers, so we want to see games. And we were like, how about some games? And they were like, listen, you got cable TV. Oh, what? you guys want to use Skype? You want to get on the internet? Want to watch HBO Go? And they're like, no, but what about the games? I mean, we can do that, but... All right, listen. You can broadcast, do whatever you need to do on your machine. And then they turn around and they don't tell us anything about the games. And then they turn around and then they tell us what they're doing. They tell us little things like... anything you have in your Xbox 360 won't work. Anything. Mm-hmm. Your games, your Xbox Live Arcade games, your control. I believe your music and videos you downloaded will work. But your games, your Xbox Live Arcade games, your controllers, your headsets won't work. And things like that. And it's just kind of weird how they're severing their ties with all the goodwill. Because essentially Xbox, like you said, became a party. And It's weird that you wouldn't want to just ride the momentum in that regard, where they're just severing all these ties. They're locking games to your console. They have a very obtuse method of handling secondhand games that they haven't quite ironed out themselves yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have a lot of moving parts that are really momentum stoppers, when essentially all we wanted to know was how much. Is Halo 5 coming out? How much?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're trying to push cable. They're not super serving their audience. It's almost like a concert. And there are too many opening acts, and you start to get rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if eventually Xbox will be fine, but for them to introduce it as such, with all these weird mixed messages and everything like that, is
now. Do you think they should have just completely, like, maybe not even announced it and just waited until like E3 or when it gets closer to like the time when they do want to announce how much it cost and all that stuff? Because it feels like they're saving that for E3 mm-hmm. as kind of a, hey, for you guys that didn't like our announcement, here's 15 video games with footage and here's the price point and here's the release date. Do you think they should have just kind of saved the whole thing for E3 or what?
The thing about it is that they don't have to save anything. They have us all by the balls. Sony has been really stagnant for years to the point where everyone has an Xbox and it functions as something. It's either your Roku box or your game console or both.
Mm-hmm.
So all they had to do was essentially show us just literally super serve the audience, look at what Sony didn't do, and then just do that. And then they could literally build positive momentum going here, pass through E3. I think the Xbox One will be fine. Microsoft will iron out whatever issues they have. But just... I was telling you before, it's like a campaign. You're essentially trying to campaign Americans to drop a K for their own entertainment one day this year.
Right.
And to do that, you have to then super serve your audience. You have to get them hyped, because if you make them stop and think, you won't be able to ride that momentum to that $1,000 credit card bill that you want in November when they get a system, two games, and two other games, and then they sign up for whatever services you have, and all of a sudden someone hands them a bill and says $8.97, and that person's like, woo!
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, I don't know if I have a cable box. I mean, I don't know, my internet connection's spotty. I need to sign up for Skype now. I mean, am I even signed up for fantasy basketball? Do you want to sign up for fantasy basketball? And, you know, and then that becomes too many moving parts for what essentially is just a political campaign based on emotion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, before I ask Chris, the other thing I got to ask is, because this was the best part. Like, I'm having this conversation with Aaron. And the whole time, I feel like I'm being cynical and calculating, because I'm like, fuck those niggas, man. They gonna buy the game anyway. and then Aaron's kind of like, you right, they gonna buy it. But his idea for how to do the presentation was lots and lots of fan service by showing video game footage, which was almost more cynical.
I wouldn't even go ham. I would go ham. Listen, it's Xbox. Microsoft is, I would literally come from the perspective of, we're your boys, check this out. And it would be games and demos and madness. Fireworks, Aerosmith, fucking flyby, everything. Like the fucking Stark Expo. I'm serious. Just fucking everything. Because all we have to do, Sony is still coming. Sony is operating from such a deficit that they just have to start over and be reasonable and make a game console. You realize that the PlayStation 4 doesn't do anything but what it should do because that's all they can do? They're stuck. They need to just be reasonable. We are way in the driver's seat. So all we need to do is just have to keep the party going. It's not really that hard. They literally worked real hard to stop the momentum for the console. It was very strange.
Yeah, like he was like, basically gamers would just be like your core gamers would kind of be like, I don't care about backwards compatibility right now. I just saw fucking an hour of new games. Like, you know, like, well, we'll work that out, you know, at E3. Yeah, man, I just want their hands on these new games, so
yep, do what you guys got to do. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't even hear your words. I was just playing Halo 5. I can't hear your sound in your voice.
Yeah, I thought that was like, because I approached that conversation like, well, but Aaron this and Aaron that. Then he says that. I was like, yo, man, that's, you kind of fucked up. Like, you gonna fuck with these gamers like that. But Chris, man, go ahead and drop your thoughts on it, man, because we've been kind of talking about it for a couple of days too.
Well, here's my thing. I hear both sides on this thing. Well, my thing is, I probably won't get this system for a year or two, and this is why. And it's not because it won't be great. I'm probably gonna get an Xbox for the same reason Rod said it. My Xbox has now become everything. I actually have a smart TV that has Netflix on it, but I'll watch Netflix on my Xbox. Mm-hmm. I just like the way it works better. The cable thing to me would be great for the Xbox One, but only if they can work with a cable provider, so I don't no longer have to buy a cable box. It's not going to happen, but I wish there was some way of that happening, because I don't want a cable box. If I can do that and just do everything through my Xbox One, then it becomes nice. But that the bells and whistles of all that stuff is cool. I actually like the new Kinect and what they said with the Kinect. But here's my thing, even with the gaming, and why, even with E3 coming out and the game's looking great, I'm still not going to be sold. I'm already sold on Xbox One, but why I'm not going to rush out to buy it? First of all, any game right now that comes out for the Xbox One on launch day is also going to have, more than likely, a 360 title too.
Oh,
which means
yes,
that game is not going to be next generation.
Yep,
let's get that out of the way right now. Your next generation games aren't going to happen until maybe E3 next year or the year after then. Because as long as that game is still being coded for the 360 or the PS3, it is not next generation. And it's going to look better, but it is not next generation.
That's a good point.
It's ironically why I was the first thing I noticed. Me and Elon were watching Call of Duty Ghost, the trailer, and we were like, this doesn't look like a huge leap over the Xbox. I think this is just about lowest common denominator. This is an Xbox game touched up.
Yeah, I was even saying, I don't think, and this will be the true test, I don't think any game is going to blow me away graphically for the next 2 years or so.
No, it's not, because
so like I don't think anything they could have shown would have worked for me necessarily. It would have worked for other people, but I don't, unless there was some revolutionary type of gameplay I've never seen.
Like,
I don't
really revolutionary.
Yeah, I don't think it would have blown me away. I would have just been like, yeah, man. So what does the console do again? Like,
and that's my thing, Rod. That people, I love people being hype about it, and I know I came off with a wet blanket to some people, but I'm like, listen. This is awesome what the PS4 and the Xbox One can do, well, but you're not seeing their full potential because the developers haven't had a chance to actually work with this shit yet. The devs probably got the dev kit for the Xbox One, what, maybe last year, if that, probably this year. So they haven't had a chance. Like, the new shit that the Xbox One's Kinect can do with being able to higher resolution, being able to see wrist movements now and seeing the almost see darker shade, things like that. Yo, that's gonna blow gaming away once they actually can put that in there. It's almost like when think about it with Mass Effect 3, where you could actually use voice commands
right
to flow through your game. Yo, how many Xbox games have actually kept doing that?
A lot.
Almost none of them.
No. The sports games and
Dead Space.
I'm sorry.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's not enough of them.
Right.
I want to get to that point where almost every game uses that aspect, uses some kind of aspect of the new system of the Xbox One. I don't think, other than graphics, I don't think any of these new games for that first year and a half are going to do that. So I might as well just get them on the Xbox 360. And once they start making games and they're just like, yeah, that new Mass Effect 4 is going to be an Xbox One only game.
Yeah, that's when I gotta get it. That's when I have to. I absolutely cannot avoid getting it the second you tell me something I love is not available to me.
Exactly.
Like when you say like NBA 2K14 will be on Xbox One, and it's like, okay, then I'll wait.
Because I mean, it's just, even if they're saying that they're gonna do some stuff here, and the developers, as a developer, I know that if I have to develop for something that's across all systems. Even if I develop something that's specifically for that one system, I'm not putting my entire focus on that one system, so I have to make it expand overall. That's why, remember when the PS3 came out, people were like, but it looks so much better than the Xbox, and you're just like, but it doesn't really play that much better, and it's not that much better.
Yeah.
That was the reason, because people were making game titles that expanded over both Xbox 360 and PS3,
and sometimes,
so you weren't using the full power of the PS3.
And sometimes even Wii, were doing that. So,
that's to me why all this stuff is cool. I love it. I love hearing what they're going to do with it, but I'm not going to rush out to buy it because to me it forget. I made the argument when the announcement came out that listen, remember the 360 had all those issues when it first came out about wrapping it in a towel. You had to buy all this. You had to buy all these other accessories and shit like that. It's like I'm gonna wait at least for that. Wait 6 months to a year to make sure I can get the best Xbox One, first of all. You know, they did shit like, well, when they released the Xbox 360, they didn't even have an HDMI port on it.
Right.
I mean, so shit like that, I want to wait to make sure I get the as best. Like, I look at it this way. There's three different ways you can jump into this pool. You can do it. You can be a first adopter, which usually means you're going to get fucked some kind of way. You can get it too late, which means you're going to get fucked some kind of way. Or you try to get into that perfect pitch in the middle somewhere.
That sweet spot.
That sweet spot. And that's what I'm trying to do. I want to get into the sweet spot where they've worked all the issues with the hardware, if there are any issues, and the gaming is now caught up to the system. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that first year, 2 years, gaming is not going to be caught up on that system.
Yeah, it's going to be collecting dust for a lot of people. Now, another thing I would say about the press conference that I think after a couple of days, it really became apparent. Microsoft did not handle rumors well. They didn't handle the rumor mill well. And honestly, I think I feel comfortable saying that them just coming out and saying the truth or confirming or denying things would be way better than letting nerds speculate about shit, because our minds are way more fucking creative than you think. And by the time that we get done, it's going to be like, you need to give a little bit of blood every time you put on an Xbox. You're going to have to donate a pint of your blood, and then it will run off of that. And after a while, it'll shut off until you put another pint of blood in it. So like one of the rumors, and some of these things, like the answers that I'm hearing now, it's like, well, that's not that bad, man. Why didn't you just tell everybody? Because one of the things was like, well, pre-owned games, they're going to take a cut of that and make you pay a fee if you go to your friend's house and like try to play your game on his console, which I'll be honest, doesn't happen for me a lot, but I'm sure it happens for a lot of people still share games and shit like that. But then they said, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to charge you to play a game on another console. What we do want is a piece of the pre-owned market. So now GameStop will have to kick us a fee whenever they sell a game. So,
which is what you should have been doing in the first place. Versus
the publisher and Microsoft gets a fee, which it's funny that Microsoft gets some of that money. And I bet you it's only because that's the only unifying banner that publishers can come up under. Like, you know, cause if not, it'd just be like EA's negotiating their own deal with GameStop and, you know, Konami's negotiating a deal with GameStop. I'm guessing they just went to like Xbox was like, look, we'll unite you guys and maybe you get X amount of dollars from every sale and then we get this percentage of that. But that's the new thing they're saying is,
I have a question, actually. Yeah. Are they gonna put a cap on how much used games can be then?
No. They said you can sell for whatever. They're not gonna change how much you can sell them for. Retailers basically can sell them for whatever they can get.
So if GameStop still wants to keep getting as much money as they have, they're gonna have to charge you more for used games.
Yep, possibly, man.
But the thing about it now, it becomes a situation where this is objectively, now this is potentially where, if it becomes me having a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 just doesn't go down that road, and most games come out for both systems, like it's like 95% of games, 98% of games come out for both systems, I'm just gonna get the cheaper, because I buy games used now, mostly. Yeah, I'm just gonna get a game that's just less of a hassle. I don't want to have to deal with Microsoft.
But Sony's gonna go down that road.
Yeah, but they're not down it now. And apparently, that just to be able to have that infrastructure where Microsoft is keeping track of the discs you have in your store costs so much money that Sony's like, we don't know. At the moment, they're just like, we don't know.
I'm not even like comparing it to the PlayStation yet because I don't know what they're gonna do. Like, which is funny because I remember when PlayStation was announced, people were mad as shit because they didn't get, they were like, I didn't even get to see the console. They didn't tell us anything. They just fucking showed a controller. What was that bullshit?
That was weird. They showed a lot. It's ironic that they showed enough games in the PlayStation 4 thing. I wasn't annoyed with it. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, that game,
The quiet thing about that is, some of them games ain't even gonna be made. Like Star Trek, Star Wars 1313, they don't even know that game's gonna be developed anymore. So that's why I don't pay attention to the gameplay footage either. Cause they'll put gameplay footage out for a game, and then you're like, awesome, when did that game come out? 2018? So
it could be like the Aliens, Marines game that came out last year where they were like, they showed footage that was dope as shit, and then when you go buy the game, they're like, yeah, that's not in there. Sorry, bro.
Well, and that's the thing that's the other thing too that gets me about why I don't also get excited about E3. It's like when you go to Comic-Con and you get excited about movies, they show you footage from the movie. You're like, awesome, that movie's gonna come out. It's gonna happen. Awesome. E3, and they'll show you this thing for a game. You're like, that looks awesome. Then either one, the game doesn't come out. Two, the game comes out and it's nowhere near as awesome as that gameplay footage, because the gameplay footage isn't running on the console; it's running on somebody's souped up PC using the dev kit. Like, I just don't put that gameplay footage in quotes. I don't put that.
I'm gonna now trust that we're now at the point where you can't literally PlayStation 4 is as powerful as a computer. So if they're PlayStation 4 and Xbox, whatever they show us, I'm gonna, if they're pulling that shit on us now, then they can go fuck themselves. I'm just gonna instantly punch them in the stomach if I ever saw them in the street. There's no reason.
Yeah, that's what pissed me off about Aliens Colonial Marines, because I thought we were done with that. Like, that was so out of left field. And it's by Gearbox, like not just some bullshit company. It's like, we made Borderlands 2 and Alien Colonial Marines.
But that's what pushed the pin on by that Star Wars game. It's like the Star Wars game came out, they were like, yo, oh yeah, and the bounty hunters, Boba Fett. You're like, awesome, cool. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, LucasArts isn't making any more games anymore.
It's like, we got a Kickstarter we're working on, so if you guys want to chip in.
Fuck you.
But go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
And I have two questions. Number one, most of these systems, when you first get them, come out with warranty. So for you people that's getting it for the first month to a year, y'all gonna be exercising all of that warranty. Just want y'all to know, because no matter how much they test it, they don't know when you get it at your house if your kid is gonna kick it, turn it over. They might not have it designated for a 48-hour straight gameplay, because you know people get them, they turn them on, people leave them on, you know, little things like that. So, you know, do you think that I know for me and Roderick, that's the biggest reason why we're not, because I don't want to get it and then cry every time I got to send it back to you.
Yeah. That's part of it. The beta testing. That's kind of what, Chris talked about. What was your second thing?
And for syncing, you know, now, with the regular Xbox, if I like for Fable, for example, I had a Fable, and let's say somebody else had a Fable. Fable sends has like the DLC. Mm-hmm. So I upgrade my DLC. Somebody else has Fable. They don't upgrade their DLC. We can't play together. Are we going to have issues where if 360 and like the one are not going to be compatible?
Yeah, they definitely won't be compatible. Like, yeah, there's no backwards compatibility for sure. Like,
so that's y'all not going to be able to play 2K together even though they both come out on both systems?
No, you will not be able to.
Well, and that's the funny thing, too. So, let's say people get that Call of Duty game, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, yeah, I'm going to get new Call of Duty on Xbox One. But, nigga, nobody's going to have an Xbox One.
Right.
So, who are you going to play with? You and, the five other people?
The good news for them is by the time the rest of us get it, they'll be really fucking good at Call of Duty. Like, it won't even be fun for us to play. We'll just cut it on and die. Like, oh, you've been on this thing for a while, huh? The other thing about that, Aaron was talking about, with the sales numbers, I think he's right. The real answer is I don't know. I guess nobody knows, how it will truly affect the used sales game market because according to GameStop, they say only 30% of their, profits come from selling used games.
Where the rest come from?
Hey, man, did that press conference explode? They're lying through their goddamn face. 30%.
Yes, I do not believe that.
Me either.
Because they act like no one's ever sold them a game. I sold you a game, bro. You gave me a nickel.
Years.
And then I came in the next day and a sticker was on it for $49.95, dude.
You can't lie to me. Every GameStop in New York, used game section is literally 2/3 bigger than the new game section. It's just used games for hundreds of used games on a wall inside of a big fucking and a big office an office space. I don't understand. They sell all their sales are used games.
And then your profit margin on a used game is so ridiculous.
It's like 100%.
There's no way you're matching that when you sell like a copy of Madden fresh out the box. There's no way you're probably like making a nickel off of that shit. And then turning around and selling a used copy and making $40 off of that shit. So I really don't understand their logic there. And we're going to find out. That's the thing. If they're desperate and this is like the only way they can make money is these used games, I think it won't affect the price market too much because they'll be desperate. You know, it'll be like, we're not moving this shit. Like that's one thing I did like about GameStop is don't nothing move in GameStop but the money. So if you go buy some used shit, that's where you want to go. Now, if you want to sell some used shit, that is not where you want to go. But if you want to buy some used shit, you go there. Make sure you open up your cartridge
and look at it. Make sure you got the right thing.
Make sure you got an instruction book.
Yeah, check it out. Blow the dust off of it.
Yeah, turn. Look at the back of your disc. Mm-hmm. But you're gonna get that shit way cheaper than just about any other place. So yeah, man, I'm gonna be watching this. And this is another reason I might not get one day one because it's like, let's see what happens. Maybe in a year, I'm looking at fucking launch day titles and they're still 95% of the value that they were. You know, I don't want to hop into that. That's why I don't fuck with Nintendo.
No.
That's why I said, to me, it's just, like I said, I'm not downing people that are gonna get this day one. Hey, I need you to test it out for me. Hey, somebody, it's like in Braveheart, somebody had to be in the front line. It just wasn't gonna be me.
This is why God made Elon James white.
Yeah.
Because he'll have it day one. He'll be pissed off on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Aaron will go down there and play it. Fanon will play it. Other people play, and then I'll follow them and see, like, hey, man, well, how'd you enjoy that Call of Duty?
It's like a scary movie. It's like, you look at the blonde, white-haired, white girl, check the room first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you go ahead and check and just make sure it's okay, and then I'll come. But and the reason why I said it, because one thing I found interesting about the whole used game thing is, one thing I read, or I don't know if it was an impression or something like that, was that Xbox also said, because you have to install every game on there, they said that there's going to be they'll actually have a better used game marketplace online on the Xbox One where you can then sell and trade games on.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, now see that.
Whoa.
And the way it was supposed to work was that you would then trade the code that they would give you. You would trade the game.
Yeah.
And you get the code. So then it would be deleted from your machine and then other person. And I'm like, wow. Now, if those prices are competitive, like what GameStop's used game prices were, then I would do that, because that would even never to leave my house.
Even just the convenience. The convenience. Like, I've done things now where I've, like, if they have a really good sale, I've bought Xbox games from the live store.
Exactly.
And, like, I've only done that in the last, like, maybe 6 to 8 months, but it's because, like, sometimes they have sales that are just, like, stupid crazy. And it's like, well, shit, I don't have to drive to GameStop now.
And that's my thing. If they can eliminate me having to drive to GameStop, even, I mean, they've been, and this is my whole thing about people talking about, well, you know, you can just download games. And I was like, listen, my problem with the download games thing is that the pricing has always been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I download this game, I should not be paying the same price as somebody who went to GameStop and got it new in the package should be paying. I should be paying less.
Especially now, so they're basically adding resale value to games that are downloadable.
Right.
If this is true.
Because you didn't have to press the game into a disc. You didn't have to give a box. You're already not printing a manual now anyway. So you didn't do any, you have to ship it to the, you didn't have to ship it anywhere. It's like, so I am paying, I guess, a little bit for the bandwidth from the download, but that shouldn't be nowhere near as much of the physical copy of the game.
What I'm saying is just the idea of saying I downloaded Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. I enjoy this game. I talked to Aaron about it, and Aaron's like, oh, that sounds intriguing. I wouldn't mind playing that game. And then I can just go, well, shit, man, I'll sell it to you for $20. And then he can move it to his machine for $20, or
I don't know if you can name the price. I think it would probably be is that they name the price.
Okay.
What sale is? I'm sure because if I just want, I'm like, hey, listen, it's a nickel, and then sell it back to me for a nickel.
Right.
Yep.
But my point being though, now currently those games have no value to me.
Exactly.
So I'm saying like. Even if it was just like, well, you can sell back Shattered Dimensions for $5, and you know, last week I would have not sold it at all because I just downloaded this game and it's worth zero once I have it. Like, it's only worth what I care about it to be worth, but Xbox is not buying that shit back and no one else is. Yo, that shit could be kind of dope, man. We'll have to see how it works.
I don't like people complain about GameStop only gave me $1 back for Gears of War 2. Like, this is why I don't complain about that, because I'm like, listen, either that game's going to sit on my shelf and not be played, or I'm going to get $1 from GameStop.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll take the $1.
Not to mention, if it's just a code, nigga, I can sell that on my own.
Right.
I actually can go, Aaron, PayPal me $20. I'll give you my code.
Right. So it depends on, I don't know how they're going to work it out, you know, and this is why I said I want to wait. I just want that's my thing about this. It's like everybody's rushing now. So I gotta get a day one. I'm like, how about we wait and see how all this shit unfolds? Because like I said, I remember when the Nintendo Wii U was announced and people were like, oh, I gotta get that shit now. And now look at you.
Well, now let's talk about why I might have to get it on day one. And it's not the thing we talked about, Aaron. It's something else. Uh-oh. There's another rumor coming out, and I can't decide how I'm going to react to this till I actually see it. But word on the street is the Xbox One can talk to you.
Can talk.
And that shit is about to throw all my rational mind out of the motherfucking window the first time that shit addresses me, dude. I don't give a fuck what happens. If I walk in that house and it's like, hi, Rod, how's it going? I'll be like, God damn, man, I got my own Jarvis. So if they unveil that shit at E3, that's gonna be sick.
Apple Siri shit, yo.
Yes, nigga. Like, I already saw when he was talking to it during the press conference. I was more impressed because they had added more commands, and they sounded more natural. Because the ones they have for the Kinect now aren't that natural to me. Where it's like,
right.
Xbox Home, Xbox, Xbox Home.
You hear me now, Xbox?
I'm yelling at like a little kid, but you know, he's talking this shit, and he's just like, you know. Xbox, what's on HBO? I'm like, what? That's how I talk.
That'd be great. That'd be fucking awesome. I'll go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it'd be funny if he was like, Roderick, my Found 3 available could use copies of Spider-Man 3, and the Bobcats play at 8 p.m. Would you like tickets?
Oh, my God. Don't do it, Aaron.
But like, yes, don't even say it. I would like tickets. Pay now. Would you like to pay with the PayPal account or your Visa card?
Dude, they will fuck around.
Next gen shit. That is what I'm waiting for. That's why, you know, all this stuff is nice. But remember, the Kinect shit for the Xbox didn't come out until, what, like 2-3 years ago?
Right.
So it's like, I just want to wait just so I can get to when developers actually have time to really use the true power of the Xbox to make some awesome shit. That's what I'm, like, I'm telling you, man, if it can do some shit like that.
Yeah, the rumor is, like, even if it's not on the launch console, it's able to be added, like how Kinect was able to be, but not something you buy, but just straight software, like all the hardware is in it, and it can just be added where now it can talk to you. So, yeah.
You know what, I'm gonna say this. I think if we had melded that would be the best possible conference. If it was all games, but the dude that was showing us the game was just casually, like, he wasn't even talking about it. Like, he was like, alright, here's Halo 5, Xbox on, controller on, left hand. And all of a sudden everyone was like, what is he doing? What is he doing? And all of a sudden the Master Chief goes, Master Chief? He goes, yes, Derek. I go, yeah, stage 5, please. And then he just pivots around and starts playing, and everyone's like, why didn't he explain that? Why is that so normal? It's not normal.
Dude.
That's why, I'm telling you, that's why to me, the best news out of that conference about the Xbox One wasn't the Media Hub shit, not the games. It was the new Kinect.
Yeah.
That is what got, that to me is, I saw that and was like, because look, I started thinking about, yo, you know what? You know how when in Mass Effect you get to create your own character?
Yeah.
What I want to be able to do is do like they do in movies. I want to stand inside in front of my Kinect and like my underwear and have it download my body so that I end up being like it when it goes to create a character, it creates me in the game as close as possible to the character models they have. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Read my face. All right, I want you to get the same color, the facial structure, and make my Shepard look like that.
I'm telling you, man, this bitch turns around and talks to me. I'm not making any promises on launch day if this shit can talk. That's all I'm saying.
The only problem you would have, Rod, though, if it turns into like that dude, that annoying dude from porn, like what's it, Lex Steel? then it becomes a problem. Because right. You're streaming porn and you're watching porn, and then all of a sudden you hear that voice. Yeah, Rod, do you like that?
Yeah.
Do you like that, Rod? Yeah, Rod.
Hey, Rod, you know what's funny?
What you need to do. Yeah.
I just picture myself like playing the game at like 2 a.m. and it starts talking to me and no one's around. And I'm like, yes, I do like it. Xbox, what's going on, bro?
Like a phone sex operator.
Yeah. What are we talking about here, man? You like the way I play that Call of Duty? Yes.
Yeah. Like, another thing too I liked is the fact that, again, this is why I would love if there were, it's not going to happen, but I wish they could work away so I can get rid of my cable box, the DVRing system in the Xbox One. I was like, that's awesome.
It was so dope, man. Like I said, I feel like.
Sorry. You just said that is dope. Those 500 gigs don't work for DVR.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I might not be the hardcore gamer that, you know, I thought I was because the shit was working, man. I was like, I can just tell it to turn to HBO. And I don't know why that shit was like, that was the thing that gave me my nerdgasm was the shit like, you know, Xbox, record Brady Bunch.
Like, I can say Xbox on and it turns on. I'm like, wait a minute, that's awesome because now I don't have to hunt for my controller if I just want to watch Netflix.
Yeah. Yes.
So I can be like, Xbox on.
Yeah, like I said, gaming, and I said this earlier, gaming's about to become real classist. And, you know, I've seen it coming for a while now. I was wondering how they were going to handle the next generation of systems. I didn't think it was going to be about graphics. I didn't think it was going to be about gameplay. I really just think it's going to be a matter of class and being like, yo, nigga, if you don't got no internet, stay your bum ass away from us because you're slowing us down. Mm-hmm. And we bought this paper.
Oh, nigga, once I get my Xbox One, I'm going to be like, oh, so you still have to get up to turn your Xbox on, huh?
Yeah, that's the new shit. Classism is the new shit, man. Like, you know, it's fucked up because classism's always fucked up because you're cutting people off. But I feel like that's the new thing is they're going to be like, if you can't afford to play, fuck you. And they're no longer like, they're like, go get a 360 now. And a lot of people are not going to react well to that, man. But
man, the thing about it was the atmosphere of the previous Xbox was one big fucking frat party. Everybody buy an Xbox. You got a kid, you should be playing Xbox. Your mom, your wife, your daughter, your dog, all of you should be playing Xbox right now. Except now they're like, what's your download?
Yes.
How much is it here? You're a doctor? Well, you're a doctor. Come with me.
Right, right.
I'm actually okay with that. After trying to play Call of Duty without a party and listening to them assholes, I think Action might be okay with it.
Yeah, I, like I said, man, it's gonna be interesting because I think people are slow on the uptick on this, but I've been on it for a minute, and yeah, it's gonna be weird when people start realizing, like, but my console don't connect to the internet. It's like, yeah, yeah, dude, we were talking about you. You should not have bought this. The other thing I heard too, the always on rumor, is that what they're, it's the same thing that Chris was talking about with the transferring of games. They basically check your system once a day to see like your, which games are supposed to be on your systems and which ones aren't. So it's kind of like their anti-piracy slash, who owns this game that's on this hard drive and who should it belong to.
Oh.
So who has access to play it? And it's not actually like, if it's not on, you can't use it at all, but there's still rumors going about on that. So, while it's not, it doesn't have to always be on or always connected to the internet. To some extent, it's going to go check that shit every 24 hours. So kind of close to the same thing. You know what I mean? Really? And until they really let you know what that means, like if I unplug my shit from the internet for 3 days, does it just turn the fuck off? Like what happens if I just decide to go rogue? And not, you know, connect my shit. So,
you know, the thing too about this is, and I think you mentioned it too, that nerds have really creative minds when you don't fully explain it. And I've heard these kind of rumors before for different systems and different things that come out. And very rarely are they ever as bad as nerds make it seem.
Yeah. Which is like I said, the one failing I have of the Microsoft conference is that they weren't aggressively squashing rumors like that. Mm-hmm. That's fucked up and that's stupid. Like it, nothing good will come of the next couple of months until next month till E3, because it's going to be people going rampant with rumors and none of these rumors are going to help you. None of them. All of them will be something crazy and worse than whatever the fuck you probably think it is. So just tell me the bad news now. And I have what, 6 months, 4-5 months or something to figure it out. You know, just tell me the fucked up shit now. Xbox just be like, hey, dog, you can't play your old shit. Appreciate it. You got to be connected to the internet at least once a day. All right. Gotcha. We're going to charge GameStop a fee for selling you used games. Cool. Anything else? You know, like, let's just get it out.
Let me know the first big title that's coming out that's not coming out for the 360.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let me know that. Like, answer those questions. I don't give a fuck about this other shit, man. Plus, you guys made the Xbox 360 too good, so that's your fault. All right.
That's the thing that nobody talks about. Like, listen, the 360 is still good enough, and majority of people are going to keep their 360 for a long time. So until the 360 is just as really outdated, and that's going to take at least 2 years.
Yep. Man, this is another episode of the Nerd Off. Went a little long, but had some of my favorite, most respected opinion people on here.
Yes, we did.
Just want people to realize that listen to Aaron on this nerd show. Didn't tell him shut up once. Never fired him from ideas.
No. Didn't tell him his face was ugly.
Yeah, I know how to respect my guests, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. And you're always welcome back, Aaron, anytime.
Yes, you are, sir.
Can I just point out that even though this is the nerd show, Karen actually had the best observation about the broadband and in America versus the rest of the world. So I just want to point that out there. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, that's what she does, man. That's why she's here. But yeah, check us out next week, man. I don't know who the guest will be, but I'm sure we'll be talking some more nerd shit.
Yep.
Check out Aaron over at all the Twib projects. Everything Twib.
Yeah, he's either speaking or behind the scenes or behind the camera. He there, y'all. He there.
Yeah, so go check him out, man. Especially We Nerd Hard if you're really into this show.
Yep.
That's one of the shows I get a lot of my information from. And also go check out Chris and Shane Insanity Check podcast. And, he's at Insanity Report on Twitter. Aaron is at ANS Freeman on Twitter. And Karen is Say That Again on Twitter. That is in DAT. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.